Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and I'm here with a star-studded cast today. We've got Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages. Kath, how are you?
Good.
You survived the dusting of snow last night?
Yes.
We're glad to have
you
here.
We had a two-hour delay today to school.
Oh.
Yes.
Fresh from ASI Dallas.
Because of the dusting?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Fresh from ASI Dallas, Nicole Rollander and Joe Haley are here. You guys give us your best yee-haw.
Yee-haw!
All right.
Oh my God,
a little too early in the morning for that. Andy Cohn is here. Andy made it in from his home office in Tuckahoe. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good. And Craig Veltri is manning the tech booth with his wonderful sound effects. And Vinny Driscoll will be answering your calls today. If anyone wants to call us later in the show, give us a ring, 215-953-4979. Tell us what's on your mind. But guys, let's not delay. We have a very special guest here.
Woo-hoo!
On the radio show this morning. He's been called the most versatile entertainer in show business today. And it is, ready for this? All right, we already had the drum roll. Thank you. Wayne Brady is here with us on
the
show.
I love Wayne Brady.
I know. He's going to be entertaining us all at ASI San Diego on Thursday, May 19th at 8 p.m. at the show. We are so excited to have him. You guys know Brady's made a big splash in Las Vegas with his hit stage show, Making It Up, an improv and musical extravaganza that's been at the Venetian Hotel and Casino. He's also hosted his own syndicated talk and variety show, The Wayne Brady Show. And, of course, he became famous for his improvisational skills on the hit show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? Wasn't that a great show?
I used to watch
loved
it.
Yeah. My
all
kids
right.
love that show.
Well, let's not delay. Let's get Wayne Brady on the line. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning.
It's pretty early there in California, I guess. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're so happy to have you on the phone, and we cannot wait to see your show in San Diego.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a very good time.
We're going to have a great time for sure. We've got some questions for you here this morning, and we're going to start with Joe Haley.
All right. Hey, Wayne. How are you?
Good, man. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. I have a question. You did a skit on Dave Chappelle's show where you played a rougher, edgier version of the person fans think you are. So are you the lovable guy who makes up songs on the spot, the guy who busted a cap in Dave's kneecap, or are you something in the middle there?
Well, common sense would just tell you that I'm an actor. That I wasn't playing a rougher version of myself. And that's the curious thing about when people know you from TV. I'm just a guy, and like anyone else, I think I'm pretty multifaceted on Whose Line and on the talk show and on a sketch show on ABC or during the morning or on Disney. You have to be a certain way. If I get a chance to play a really cool out-of-the-box character on a cable sketch show, that's a completely different thing, but it's a character. So at the end of the day, I'm just a guy, but I'm a guy playing that role. And so that's the cool thing about doing the kind of job I do, even doing a live improv show, is I get to play anybody I want to. So I guess the answer to your question is I think I'm a guy who can play all of those guys.
It's just common sense, Joe. He's an actor.
I know. I love that skit.
All right, Wayne. Well, how do you...
You don't want me driving around in a car shooting at you.
No, you can shoot Chappelle, not me.
That's on YouTube right now. That's a pretty funny
love
skit
it.
For sure. Wayne, how do you prepare practice for your big upcoming shows? Do you have any rituals you go through or anything you do to prepare?
I show up and I am ready to roll because improvisation at this point isn't something that I sit around in my room and practice because that would be a little weird. It's just a skill, and I think the biggest part of preparation for me is I guess dealing with the pre-show nerves, because even at this point, 21 years into my career, I've been doing this since I was 16, I still get nervous beforehand, and I still get those butterflies, and I hope it's going to be funny. I hope everything is going to be great, and then I listen to the audience, and I hear the voice of God or the MC say, and now Wayne Brady, and I feel like I'm going to get sick, and as soon as I step on stage, it feels great.
Wow. See, Kathy, there's hope for you. We've got some people in the studio here who always get sick before going up on stage.
So, Wayne, do you have any comedians or performers who inspired you, or do you kind of just do your own thing?
inspiration, I think I'm inspired by a lot of the because I don't consider myself because I'm not a stand-up, so I'm more in the vein of because I'm an improviser and a sketch comedian and an actor, more like the old Second City guys and the early year cast of SNL and shows that I grew up watching like Carol Burnett. So I think the earlier variety performers that could do it all, people who at a time in show business where everyone was a triple threat, so like the Carol Burnetts of the world, Sammy Davis Jr.'s of the world, the Robin Williams of the world, Bill Cosby's, the Danny Kaye's, going really old school on you. Mm-hmm. People that they can make you laugh, but then they could turn around and do everything else. And that was my inspiration coming up because my mom didn't let me watch a lot of TV, so I had to use my imagination. So when I did watch TV, she made me watch PBS. And I used to get ticked off. Like, why am I watching all these old black and white shows? Why am I watching this lady, Carol Burnett, and this guy, Harvey Korman? And why am I watching this? When all of a sudden, I realized that it was my early education.
Hey, so Wayne, I know you're a really big music lover. So what's on your own iPod right now?
What's on my own iPod? I just bought, the CD by a lady named Jasmine Sullivan, and I bought the best new artist at the Grammys. I forget her name.
Esperanza.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I just downloaded her CD a couple of days ago because she was the best new artist. I wanted to see what she was all about, and she's great. And Colby Calais,
oh, yeah.
I just downloaded her stuff, and... And then I also downloaded an old school from 1986 to 89, I think it said, and an old school hip hop compilation.
That's cool.
From days when rap was about a party and not about somebody getting a cap in the butt via Chappelle. So that's the kind of stuff I'm listening to right now.
No Justin Bieber?
I'm sorry?
No Justin Bieber?
No, because I'm going to let that stay on your iPod. I need to borrow it, I'll call you and we'll just.
I'm done with him. He cut his hair.
I've got the Bieber fever. I took my girls to see that movie
just
last week.
Stop. You're a believer.
We were dancing in the aisle.
Fever.
Yes, I'm a believer. All right, I think Annie has a question for you.
Well, Wayne, a lot of our listeners are salespeople, business people, and a lot of what they do is really, you know, the element of improv and performance when they're talking to their clients and they're making pitches. So how do you think that business people could add a little more fun and make their pitches a little more interesting? What do they need to do that?
It's interesting that you say that because that's what we do on stage every single night. You know, you say you're basically selling the audience on your comedy, and you're selling the audience on the situations that you're dealing with on stage that you turn into improvisation. So I would say, as a salesperson, the best thing that you could possibly do is have fun, and no matter whatever you're selling, because we're animals, and we. In the sense of we vibe off of each other. So if you walk into a room and you're talking to someone, you're trying to sell yourself, but you're stiff and you're uncomfortable and you aren't reading any body language and you aren't finding any common ground and making them laugh and feel at ease, then you're never going to get anywhere. But if you walk in and you're sure of yourself and you're checking the person out and mentally you are finding those things in common that then maybe you can turn into an anecdote, that maybe you can turn into a bit of self-deprecating humor, that you guys can share a laugh, then more times than not, you'll probably make that sale. And at the very least, make a fan so that maybe at a later date, you can make the sale.
All right, great. Our publisher, Rich Fairfield, would like to ask you a question.
Yes, hi. I just wanted I wanted to ask you... How do you put your own stamp on Let's Make a Deal? What makes it different? How did you kind of approach that?
From the sense of I didn't want to do a game show or be a typical game show host because that's not what I do in my own mind. Like I said, you said earlier, you know, I'm an actor who enjoys being able to do all these different things. I looked at it as a role, as a challenge. And so I didn't want to play play the guy with the microphone who says, "And now there's a brand new car." So I wanted to do something
you
fun.
Do that so well,
I just figured,
though.
I'm sorry.
You do that so
as
well,
do
though.
You, as do you. So I figured, just do what I do. So that's why this version of Let's Make a Deal has a lot of improv in it. We have all the games have an improvisational element. We have characters now, reoccurring characters that interact with the audience. My partner Jonathan, who will be at the show in San Diego with me, we end up making improvisational songs to tell people what's behind the doors. The zonks are funny, or the zonks are little sketches unto themselves. In fact, it's more like a big, I don't know if you've ever seen the big Spanish variety shows.
Yes.
That,
Sabato, yeah, so, Sabato Gigante? Like
yeah,
that one?
Yeah.
I've seen that.
So it's almost more like that, you know, that all of a sudden behind door three, there's a donkey and you don't know why, but everyone's laughing about it.
Wayne, I have a question about that. Are you ever aware when there is a donkey back there, do you know someone's about to get that booby prize?
Sometimes I know, but I'd rather that they actually keep it a secret from me, too. Uh-huh. Because I never want to be guilty of steering somebody towards something subconsciously. So I like to be just as unaware as the person, so that I'm really shocked when someone loses $5,000 and they get the donkey. Because no matter where you're from, that's a bad trade.
And do they get to take the donkey home? I always wondered that. I mean, what if
you
said, "Great, I wanted a donkey."
You want a donkey? Yeah. I wonder if they could smell the donkey behind the door too.
No. We have nothing but the cleanest donkeys here in Hollywood.
All right, Nicole's got another question.
Yeah, this is a little bit more serious question. So you watched all these old school comedians. When did you realize you wanted to do what you're doing with your life? You know, were you funny as a kid? Like, how'd you fall into it?
At 16, and that's when I started acting. I fell into it in school, and I was in ROTC, getting ready to go into the military. I'd been in the ROTC for 2 years, and,
wow.
And my family's a military family, and I figured that's what I was going to do. And it really sounds like some cheesy after-school special, but I walked into the drama class because a friend of mine asked me to fill in for him for this performance. It was one line, and I figured, okay, I can handle one line. I can stand here and just speak once. That's cool. And I walked in, and it was amazing. All these kids who were free and making each other laugh and being stupid, where I grew up in a very regimented household, and something in me really responded to that. And it was that fast. The next thing I knew, I went from a school play to I was working working 2 weeks later doing my first professional play. And the thing is, Whose Line is the thing that that put me on the map. But I've been working and doing TV and movies and commercials and theater and being a singer on cruise ships and backup vocals and jingles for years. And it just wasn't comedy. I was doing improv at the time, but it was doing a lot of different things, doing a lot of drama. And I'd never done comedy on TV before Whose Line. That was the first time, because that wasn't my thrust. It was improv was something I did to let off some steam, and I'm glad I did. But I was spotted doing it at this comedy club here, the Acme Comedy Theater, and it changed my life.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Wayne, how do you deal with curveballs from the audience during a comedy show if they give you an idea that's really tough?
Can you repeat that question? I'm sorry, I really didn't hear it.
I bet you he just pretends to hear some other suggestion.
How do you deal with curveballs from the audience during a comedy show when they throw a suggestion out there, suggestion that might be tough for you? Mr. Rogers visits Osama bin Laden.
Well, there really isn't such a thing as a suggestion that's too tough, and they'll teach you that in improv class. There are suggestions that are just, what's the French word? Just stupid, and
right.
And that you can't do anything with, not because they're hard, but just because, you know, you're trying to do a show, and then some guy jumps up and goes, "Hey, do a song about my," and then insert his favorite pet word for his junk. and then at a certain point, then you go, "No, dude, I can't do that, because A, it's not entertaining for anyone except you and maybe your friend that came with you. So challenge me and give me something a little harder, you know. But I try to take every suggestion unless it's something so completely sideways.
All right. And Wayne, of course, this is a question that we ask all of our guests. What is the best promotional product you ever received and why?
Best promotional product I ever received. I think the best one, honestly, was a car.
A car. That seems like a great product.
Did Oprah give you the car?
Yeah, I mean, it was a use of a car for 6 months, a 6 month lease, and that was great because I didn't have to use my own car for 6 months. So
what kind of car was it?
South America. A Cadillac.
Ooh.
And an SUV.
Wow. That seems great. Now, there's...
Yeah, then the downside of it is that I spent $5 bajillion on gas because that's a big car.
Oh, absolutely. Now, so there's no Wayne Brady bobbleheads out there for anyone to buy?
There are Wayne Brady bobbleheads, but they're somewhere on the internet. And I've got one in my house. It's from the talk show. But I think because of Let's Make a Deal, we are getting ready to do a bunch of stuff like that. So don't be surprised if there's a Wayne Brady napkins or Wayne Brady denim jeans or Wayne Brady Let's Make a Deal doors that'll actually be house doors that'll go along with your house.
Well, you know, that makes you and Laura Bush have something in common because she also has a, well, not a Wayne Brady bobblehead, but she has a Laura Bush bobblehead.
Yes, we just had
I've seen it.
We had our show in Dallas last week. Well, Wayne, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. We appreciate you getting up early, and we are so excited to see your show May 19th in ASI San Diego.
Yes, everybody come who is listening that's going to be at the show. It's an improvisational show, just like you said. Bring all your best ideas. Get ready to have a good time, and please, no songs about anyone's junk. That's my
We'll tell everyone. Thanks so much, Wayne. Have a great day. We'll see you in San Diego.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. There's Wayne Brady. That was exciting.
That was
fun.
He wakes up fast.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And when we return, Andy Cohn is going to give us the industry news.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. We just had Wayne Brady on the air. He's going to be in San Diego with us at ASI San Diego in May. And now, Andy, that's a tough act to follow, but you're going to have to give us...
It is. I don't know how would I do that.
Well, good luck. Industry news with Andy Cohn.
All right. We begin this morning with some news out of California. Governor Jerry Brown has mandated that all state agencies stop purchasing promotional items. Brown, searching for ways to close a $25 billion budget gap, decided that the $7.5 million that state offices spent on ad specialties in the most recent 3 years were just too much for the state to bear. $2.5 million per year, not sure exactly how that's going to help a $25 billion shortfall. But on to international news now. Two top executives of Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba.com have resigned amid a fraud investigation. The company's CEO and COO have left after an internal investigation revealed that Alibaba salespeople were allowing fake companies to pose as suppliers and charge consumers for goods that were never shipped. Check out Promogram today for more details. Finally, this morning, two top 40 companies have reported 2010 year-end financials. BIC APP, the parent company to Norwood and BIC Graphic North America, said their 2010 revenues decreased 3.3% on a comparative basis. Meanwhile, top 40 distributor Inner Workings reported record revenues with a sales increase of more than 20% in 2010. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what are you showing off today?
Andy, someone gave me this cool thing called the manicure mat. It's pretty cool. A neat idea. So,
because I know how much you like to do your nails.
Well, I do.
Is it for men or women or both?
If you decide to get your nails done and you're a man, you know, I guess you can use it. But it's just different products, different market to, and I think it's kind of interesting.
I can't wait to see it.
He's going
to
demonstrate.
You have to watch today, Kathy, and then you can also watch on Thursdays as well.
All right. Well, you'll see that.
Joe, don't you give a special shout out on your show
to the Davidovich boys?
There you go.
Okay, well, forward to we'll look for that on the Joe Show today. As
whoever
well
they are.
Big fans.
Represent.
All right, I mentioned several of us were in Dallas last week. Nicole, Joe, and Rich. Why don't we go around and say what our favorite part of Dallas was? I know mine was Friday being at the Women's Summit.
Mine
spending
too.
Time with Laura Bush. It was a great day. She gave a fantastic keynote in the morning and another different one at the Women's Summit in the afternoon. Plus, she gave me a list of her favorite books that I need to read. So Ooh. That was great. You know, she was a librarian.
I know she was. What's number one on her list?
It was something in Winter, Adams. It was
Mrs. Adams in Winter.
Mrs. Adams in Winter. Hmm. It's about...
John Quincy Adams' wife, right? How she traveled from the Soviet Union to Europe or something like that.
Yeah, apparently it's fascinating.
Yeah.
So put it on your list, Kathy.
It's on.
Done.
All right, Rich, you were in Dallas. What was your favorite part of the show last week?
Well, I love the show, but one of the things I had never done in Dallas is actually know the city a little bit more, and I got to go to in the Deep Ellum to find this place called Angry Dog, which has the second best hamburgers in Dallas.
What's who has the first best?
Why the second best?
Yeah. Well, it's in downtown Dallas. The other place is one of the burbs someplace, but this is the best in downtown
and
Dallas.
And did you agree? Was it a great burger?
It was a great burger.
And you didn't bring samples back for any of your favorite editorial peeps?
No, I did not bring any back, but we can next time we all go to Dallas, we'll have to go there because it is a really good place. And if you are hungry, for an extra $3, you get a second 8-ounce burger so you can get a full
Sweet.
Pound
wow.
of meat.
So I'm sure you took advantage of that offer.
I was going for the 3, but I thought that I could stop at the 2. And they also give you a huge thing of fries or...
Onion rings
or refried beans, which were delicious.
Oh, well,
now,
that
do you say it's the second best, or do they actually advertise
D
it?
Magazine,
as the best?
D Magazine says it's the second best place in Dallas. Cool. It's also known for the Angry Dog, which is a hot dog covered with chili and other things like that.
Ooh. Ooh.
Somebody's stomach.
That's Rich's stomach after refried beans.
Rich, I saw you. I know you also went on a side trip right before the show and found the biggest rocking chair in the world. Is that right?
Yes. Undocumented, but it is self-proclaimed, and it is in someplace between Austin and Fort Worth.
And did you get up in the chair?
Now, Melinda, you know the answer to that question, that I did not because it was all at your own risk and I had small children with me. But no, I did not do that. I don't want to endanger the
big.
Children. You know, all for the children.
It's all
giant.
About the children.
All the children. But at the Dallas show itself, I thought it was a great show and we had good attendance there. We were up versus last year and great education. And Laura Bush was certainly a highlight. And I had a lot of nice conversations with suppliers and distributors there. And we did some focus groups and we got some interesting points about counselor and a couple of new story ideas, I think.
We absolutely did. Joe, what was your favorite part of Dallas?
Talked with a lot of suppliers and distributors, and everyone is still bullish about this year coming up. So a lot of happy people on, you know, in the aisles, behind the booths. Everyone's excited about 2011, so that made me feel good. Education Day was pretty good, too. I had a very good session. I moderated a session on suppliers and distributors partnering together to close bigger sales, and I got good feedback from that from people who were walking out saying that they learned a lot there that they didn't realize that a lot of suppliers and industries are more than just vendors, and you know, they'll actually work with them, go on client calls if they need them, offer them more marketing collateral material. So,
well, fantastic. Well, if you missed the Dallas show, of course, we've got ASI New York coming up in March and ASI San Diego in May and ASI Chicago in July. So there's 3 more great shows for you to go to. All right, Nicole, there's been a lot of talk about cotton prices and the price of apparel. Are we going to see another price increase this spring?
Yeah, we are, and it's a story that Stitches and Wearables are following. Council obviously just reported on the rise in cotton prices, but on the retail side, clothing prices are going to be increasing. They've been decreasing for about a decade. Now they're going to start rising. So, for example, a Brooks Brothers shirt, which was $79.50, is now at $88, and that's going to continue to rise. And right now in jean production, the cost of cotton is actually half that cost. So that's going to continue to rise too. What has kept it down, tame inflation, cheap overseas labor helped keep that down over the past decade. But you know, now with raw material costs going up and things like that, it's going to put more of a crimp on retailers and manufacturers. But it's definitely something that we're following to see what suppliers are doing and how distributors and decorators are dealing with those price increases.
Okay, well, you can continue to read more about that in Wearable Stitches and Counselor Magazine. Yep. And Kathy, this is Andy. You're going to talk next. Sorry.
Candy.
Candy.
Ready to go. Kathy, this is all you. Go ahead.
Andy, we've got a lot of entrepreneurs in this industry, and today we've got a lot of traits that most entrepreneurs share. What are they?
Yeah, well, these are some characteristics of great entrepreneurs that were revealed in a new study that was conducted by the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business. They studied both successful entrepreneurs and traditional corporate managers to see differences. And here are some key points about the reasons that entrepreneurs are successful. We'll put the rest on our website. But the first is that they're brilliant improvisers. Their goals change and their focus can change, but they're great at going with the flow and taking advantage of, you know, new opportunities that present themselves all the time. The second is that they're not really big on market research and data-driven decisions. They react to things in front of them and come up with new ideas all the time, not necessarily from research that they do or see, but more things that they experience. Another point on that is that they're highly creative. They're always coming up with new ideas for their business, either through marketing methods or new products or ways to present themselves in the market. They're constantly creating new plans. And that's the sort of go with the flow thing that this study came up with. And the last thing I wanted to point out is that they're in the beginning and throughout the sort of beginning lifestyle cycle of their company, they're not interested at all in competitive intelligence. They, unlike corporate managers who focus, laser-like on what their competitors are doing, they really just are more internal focused and trying to determine, you know, how they can best go to market and how best they can take advantage of their marketing and sales strategies. So they're, you know,
that's
ultimately later as they get bigger, they have to focus on market share and, you know, beating competitors at what they're both doing. But in the beginning, when they're just starting out, competition isn't what they're focused on.
We're going to put the results of the full study online at asicentral.com/radio. All right, Joe Haley.
Yes.
There are a lot of family businesses in this industry.
There are.
So how do you know whether you should hire another family member?
Well, that's an interesting question, Melinda, and hopefully I can give you some good answers. Check it out. What's the percentage of family-owned companies worldwide? What would you guess? Of all the
30%.
50%.
80%.
80%.
82. 80. Moly.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Wow.
It's apparently 80%.
It is.
I was going to say 82, though.
Okay, so you don't know whether you want to hire family members or not. And the one thing they say you don't want to do in this article from Inc. magazine is, don't create positions for them. Don't create something that, you know, isn't already there to bring a family member in. Okay, but they do offer 5 tips on how to do this, and I'm going to give you 6 tips. I'm going to give you 3. First, you need to draft a family employee policy, which is separate than your employee policy. Okay, so you need to have policies for family members that is different than from everyone else. Okay, to make sure that they're abiding by a different set of rules, what their expectations
are. Like if it's
are.
Your wife, you know, kissing at work.
Sure, sure. No canoodling at lunchtime.
No.
The next thing you want to do is groom the next generation. And one of the suggestions in the article is to actually have them work for several years outside of the family business to get some outside experience. And that can help working within a work environment, corporate environment, when they come on board with your family business. And the other thing, another bit of advice is to avoid the sense of favoritism or nepotism. Kathy, when you have your successful company, Andrew should not graduate college and become the president of the company.
Oh.
You need to work him up through the system, start him in the warehouse, give him jobs once he can move on to the next things, give him the promotions like anyone else who would grow through that country.
I already promised him head janitor.
Okay. There's some other advice in this article, which we will post online later on today.
All right, thanks, Joe. We have just enough time for our editors to say their favorite products of the week. Kathy.
Yes.
What is your favorite product of the week?
My favorite product is light-up sneaker laces.
Of course it is.
They really light up?
They really light up. No, they really light up.
Really?
They light up.
Do they light up?
They light up.
They light up?
Anyway, I think this is a really fun idea for track teams, running clubs, you know, school pride, special events, lots of things. If I had a pair of sneakers of my own, I would want them.
If you had,
if I had a caveat.
Exactly. You have a cat named Sneaker.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Anyway, these are from Winning Victory, ASI 97550.
All right. So we're going to put a picture of that up on the radio website.
Yep.
Nicole, what's your favorite product of the week?
All right. I call this Sports Fan Meets Fashionista. Actually, at the Dallas show, this new supplier, Girly Game Gear, ASI 57051, they offer these strapless dresses and other types of dresses made out of this athletic material. And They can be used by sororities, by youth sports, drill teams, high school fans and groups, college fans. And they come in a myriad of colors. And there's like bling, like rhinestones and stuff. I'm not a sports fan, and I probably never will be. But if I was, I would totally wear one.
They're like very Venus and Serena.
Yeah, I would totally wear it. They're like, they're halter tops, strapless. Yeah. They're all kinds of
very
cool.
So. All right, Joe, what's your favorite product?
Well, I actually brought my favorite product. It's from The Bensel Company. Okay, look at the profile on this. Craig's coming in. It's thin. It is a flashlight. Ooh, you see it's pretty bright there.
Joe.
Yeah, it could. It's got a magnet on the back. So this is great for any distributor's clients who are used to using magnets. It's a different magnet they can put on the refrigerator door with their company logo there. Good for companies who are targeting homeowners, like realtors, the pizza shop, and when the lights go out, they can go right to the refrigerator and shine their way. But so, this is the Bensel Company.
So it's thin, bright, and attractive like Joe Haley.
Yes.
All right.
Wow.
Andy Cohn, why don't you bring us home with
thin,
your favorite
bright,
product.
And attractive. All right. We still have snow here in the Northeast, right? Unfortunately. I'm thinking springtime with this product. So this is a unique hand spray, and it's designed to improve golfers' grip on the clubs that they use. It comes from aptly named Quick Grip Golf Inc., and that's ASI 80232, so a new spray designed to improve people's grip on their golf clubs, which I will hopefully be playing sooner rather than later.
All right, you can check out all those products on asicentral.com/radio. We are out of time, guys. Thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You, and thanks to all our listeners. Sure to sign up now for ASI San Diego at asishow.com so you can see Wayne Brady in May. Thanks, and everybody have a great week.